All right. Well, it's a pleasure having you on the show today, Shannon. Yeah, really interested, really excited to see what you got to talk about, and yeah, looking forward to it. Let's kick it off. So one of the things I like to do to start is just kind of ask you questions about yourself before we kind of jump into all the topics. So yeah, let's start there. Why don't you tell me a bit about yourself and your practice there?
Well, thank you very much, Anthony, for having me on. Really appreciate it. So I'm Shannon Fort. I lead our cyber efforts on the direct side for McGill & Partners. Cyber is part of our financial lines practice, so it sits within our financial and special risks. I've been with McGill & Partners since November of 2020, but I've been in the insurance industry and specifically cyber and E&O since 2007. So for quite some time now.
Definitely early days on that. I think you and I may have met maybe around 14 or 15.
15 would have been when I came over the UK.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of the things I really enjoy about insurance is just, you know, especially within cyber, it's such a small community and we've all gotten to know each other over time. But wow, 2007, I'd have to say, I didn't realize you'd been doing it that long. You're probably one of the early cyber people at this point.
There are a few of us still kicking around in the market, which is good. Actually, to be fair, I think the vast majority of the folks that I knew back then are still in cyber in some capacity, even now. I think it just goes to show the staying power of this as an industry, as a line of cover. So yeah, there's still a number of us kicking around.
Cool. All right. Well, you know, what can you tell me a bit in terms of, you know, what do you do in your role day to day? What does it look like? What does it encompass?
Yeah, that's always a very exciting question because day to day it feels like it can change quite rapidly. But we are a brokerage house. So my role very largely encompasses advising clients around risk transfer, risk financing solutions, and advising them around cyber specifically as an enterprise risk, helping clients understand the exposure, helping them understand how the insurance market can help them address that exposure, but also looking at the exposures, it goes across the entirety of their business, not just specifically as a means of transferring or mitigating that risk, looking at it and truly trying to help clients understand that risk, how it impacts them and how they can then further address that. So my in that role, I also, or in my specific role, I'm also responsible for strategy development and execution for our team, how we want to place cyber within our business, within financial lines and the overarching McGill & Partners, and how we want to position ourselves with the market and with clients. And that's been really fun because we are a newer brokerage house. We have the ability to be able to really craft our own message and ensure that we are, you know, that we're executing executing on the strategy that we have put together, that we have developed. So we are all very, very invested. The entirety of my team is very invested in our own progress and invested in our in executing on the strategy because we've been the ones to develop it. So it's been quite an exciting start for us.
Yeah, I think startup life's interesting, but yeah, watching you guys, you've definitely been able to put together a, you know, pretty well-known team here in the UK. And so speaking of geographies, you know, what are you really focused on? Is it US primarily or is it global? You know, what do you really like to look at?
That is also a good question. And this is I think the benefit of our design is that we don't have a specific geographical focus. We are very, very fortunate to have clients from all over the world and we actually want to keep it that way. I think naturally you will find that brokers tend to focus in specific geographies because those tend to be the geographies that are purchasing cover, LATAM, the US, Canada, Australia, Europe. Those tend to be the countries that are where the growth of the product is certainly soaring. But we've been very deliberate in making sure that we are accessible to and that we can work with clients in various geographies on both a direct and a reinsurance basis.
Okay. Interesting. So moving from geographies into what size of clients do you really focus on? Are you really looking at the big ones or mid-tier?
We aren't necessarily delineating our clients in that respect. Our focus is on complex risks. Okay. And that can certainly come in a variety of sizes from, a client with revenues around 100 to 200 million to clients, well in excess of 100 billion. We don't have a specific segment focus. We're really looking at each individual client and the nature of the risks that they have, the nature of the program that they need, or the solutions that they need. And we're partnering with clients where we really truly feel we can add value to the process, add value to the placement and how they are approaching their cyber risk. And so because of that complexity doesn't have a specific delineation from a revenue standpoint or an industry standpoint, it allows us to really, again, tailor specific solutions for clients where we believe we can add that value.
Okay, interesting. So it's not about the size or the type of industry they're in, but really it's the complexity is really what you focus on. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I guess maybe that leads a little bit into the next question then, which is what would you say your company's strength is?
So I think we have a myriad of strengths and of course, not to toot our own horn, but definitely to toot our own horn. I think we've got a team with really deep expertise, with really incredibly knowledgeable practitioners, folks that have been around for some time, both here and in the U.S., and with a real deep market knowledge as well. I think that's really incredibly important for how we service our clients, understanding where the market is, understanding what clients need, being able to translate risk to solutions is particularly important. And that comes with experience, that comes with learning, understanding, knowledge. And I think that our team is second to none with respect to our overarching expertise. I also think that our ability to collaborate across industry or line of cover verticals is particularly important and a significant strength for our company. We have the way that McGill & Partners is set up, it allows us to collaborate with our colleagues across various specialties. So whether it's marine and cargo or energy and power or the reinsurance solutions or structured solutions, we have the ability to build very detailed and specific solutions for clients on the basis of what it is that they need, not does it fit within this particular wheelhouse within the organization. So by the client with a particular need or a particular challenge, I can reach across to my colleagues and structured solutions, help build a captive solution for our clients with a cargo buyback if that was necessary. The fact is that we don't have these demarcations within the organization, so we can work across all of these verticals. And I think that's really important for clients, particularly in the market that we're in currently. And just because of these things, I think that we're able to really develop very, very specific solutions that are uniquely tailored for our clients.
Okay, interesting. Thank you. Thank you for that. So in terms of, just kind of looking out into the cyber community, whether it's insurance or legal or anything kind of related to cyber, what is something that is a commonly held belief? So something that you've really seen, widely out there in the sort of cyber world that you really disagree with?
So I think that this may be a touch controversial. And that is that I don't believe that all cyber risk belongs in a cyber policy or in the cyber market. The market is certainly growing and evolving, and as clients' approach to cyber continues to evolve, we're going to have to come to a place where we are really honing in on what a cyber policy with the cyber market should be, can be covering in a sustainable way. We've seen the flux We've seen the impact to the market of recent losses and how quickly the market has shifted from a pricing capacity standpoint. And the more that we kind of pull into these policies, the more, or the, in some respects, the less sustainable we're likely to make the market. The thing is, the cyber market is, because cyber effectively is a peril, being pulled out of other lines of cover. The cyber market is really trying to step in and supplement what is being lost, but that might not be the right place for some of those risks. Some of those risks may actually belong back in the traditional lines market. We're talking about, for instance, property damage emanating from a cyber event. The ultimate cause of loss is still property damage, right? It's still fire or explosion. Now, how that fire explosion is triggered is what we're saying is the cyber element. But does that really belong in the cyber market? Does that belong back in the traditional lines market? The traditional lines property market has a lot more capacity at the moment than the cyber market does. And it's one component or one peril from kind of a list of perils that they would otherwise be covering. So I think that we're in a place now where we really have to think about the future of this product, the future of this market, and what we can include in the market, can include in the product in order to create a sustainable market, one that will last for years and years to come. And I think that we're the next kind of conversation we're likely to have around this is around the extent of business interruption cover within our policies as well. And again, just kind of pulling in lots of different elements of that cover. And does it belong in this policy? Does it belong in a different policy? What does that approach need to look like?
Okay. Interesting. So, you know, is there kind of something out there that people are doing that you really think they should stop doing? Kind of in cybersecurity, insurance, et cetera.
So I think that, again, cyber is a constantly evolving market element, simply because it's predicated largely on technology, and technology is constantly changing, constantly evolving. So I think it's kind of difficult to say in some respects that there are things that we should stop doing, simply because I think it's all a bit of a learning curve, and that curve continues to kind of change and grow. One thing that I would say that I would like to see, I think, a bit more of is a bit more consistency in approach, consistency in how we go about understanding these risks, how the market goes about underwriting the risk, how the coverage is applied for risks. A little bit more consistency, I think, in our approach would be helpful for clients, would be helpful for the market. Now, I'm not saying we need a standardized policy form that everybody is working towards. I don't think that's it. But I do think that we need some more consistency around particularly elements of cover, elements of policies and how they are applied for clients, just to give clients more comfort and the certainty of the product that they're purchasing, and to make sure that we're getting the right information from clients, that we can explain why the information is necessary that we're asking them to provide, and that they're ultimately getting and understanding the product that they are purchasing and how it will apply to their specific risks.
So, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I have heard, you know, in my conversations with people, you know, similar comments around, you know, a desire for consistency, not complete conformity.
Right.
But like you say, you know, things that could be done in a, you know, a much more similar way across the board would make everything easier for everyone.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. So I guess, you know, besides consistency, what kinds of things would you like to see more of in the cyber world? What should people start doing more of?
I think I would like to see a bit more collaboration across the market, from carriers to brokers to other risk practitioners within this market, a bit more collaboration, particularly around data and analytics. The information that we are compiling, the information that we're using, how it's being utilized, because I think that would only help and serve our clients even better. The moment there are, you know, there are a number of different a number of different approaches to cyber risk assessment or analytics, like understanding the risk and then how that then should translate into the transfer and the impact to balance sheet. I think that there are elements, you know, and various frameworks that people are using. So pulling all of this information together and allowing access to that information for various people to review, to analyze, to come up with trends and or to look at how trends are applying and look and see effectively what we can determine about the future of the market. Future of this risk from the data that we are currently gathering and collecting. I think individual pockets of the market tend to do that quite well. But again, I think that okay. goes with consistency and in kind of hand in hand, more consistency, more data, more information, more consistency in the way that we're gathering and analyzing that data, looking at various, trying to get to various outcomes or trying to understand various outcomes from the data that we have. So I think it would be great if we had a bit more collaboration around that, you know, the collection and use of the data that the market has. Okay. Now, it may be a naive desire to recognize there are a lot of challenges to that. And data is the access to data, the data that companies can have can absolutely be a USP for those specific companies, and they may not want to you know open that up to everyone else. But I think that there has to be a way that we can again develop a bit more consistency around the data that we've got.
I suppose there's a bit of a trade-off, just in the sense that in terms of data sharing, if you're a leader in the market, you know, you're going to feel like, you know, you're giving up, you know, something like you said that is a USP.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I suppose, you know, the other side of that is in a sense, it does make the market healthier, you know, it establishes sort of a baseline, you know, so that there's probably a kind of a middle ground.
I definitely think so, because even for those folks where it is a USP, they're not, they can't exist in a vacuum, and they certainly can't exist by themselves. That's not a market. So if you've got all of the data, but not willing to share or even monetize it to share it, whatever the case may be, what we are ultimately all working towards is a sustainable marketplace, one that can continue to grow, one that can continue to support itself. And that data, I think, underscores that sustainable marketplace. And you can't be a sustainable marketplace if there's only one of whatever in that marketplace.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So I guess shifting gears a little bit, you know, where do you really see the next iteration of coverage coming from?
I think that there are a couple of different ways that coverage is likely to evolve in the coming years. I think that there might be this concept of kind of cyber as apparel may be a bit of a breakaway from the traditional what we'll call traditional cyber market or policies, to kind of be a different segment of the market, so where we're not trying to incorporate it into cyber policies, but addressing that risk specifically with additional capacity, additional capital coming into that marketplace to support what clients have lost from their traditional lines cover. I see that element of the market certainly growing, and ideally that there being more capacity capital available for clients to access for those elements of risk that are critical to them and that are at the moment a gap in their coverage. I also see the potential for something that looks more parametric in nature coming into the marketplace, where clients are purchasing cover for effectively for specific scenarios or specific outcomes, taking them out of the existing cyber policy and placing them separately. For instance, if we were to look at contingent business interruption or dependent business interruption, that coming out of the cyber policy and being placed on almost an outcome basis, if these 15 suppliers, any of these 15 suppliers have an outage or an incident, that leads to interruption, that's what we're covering in a separate policy. And that might be combined with other elements of business interruption. It doesn't necessarily have to be just cyber. It could be, you know, a broad-based interruption, yeah, pulling some of those elements out. So I think largely the next iteration is a bit more deconstruction of the current cyber policy, pulling out the elements that may not necessarily fit as neatly or nicely in. There may be, more iterations of the liability coming out of these policies and not necessarily going back into the liability, the casualty market, but the broader casualty market, but separate programs being placed for that first party risk where you can place the more outcome-based elements.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, so I guess kind of, it's really about pulling out breaking it into pieces and things like, you know, very direct kind of business interruption, you know, you could pull that into a parametric style policy. I find parametric pretty interesting. You know, I'm seeing it bubbling up more and more in cyber. It scares me a little bit just because, you know, thinking as more of on the claim side, you don't have the ability to control it. It's just kind of, these are the conditions. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
But it is very simple. And I think it's that's really kind of nice about it. It's just like, this is it. This is what you get. So great. So I guess, you talked earlier around helping people with complex risks. How do you really think we can best help clients address cyber risk?
Feels like there are a myriad of ways of doing that. I think that we are going to certainly have to take a more robust approach to risk analysis, pre-placement risk analysis. We need more qualitative and quantitative risk assessments done that give clients a clear picture of what their individual cyber risk looks like, the potential impact balance sheet that cyber risk presents, and how they can improve, not just transfer the risk, how they can improve that risk, how they can continue on an ongoing basis, how they can continue to how they can continue to work on that risk, continue to shore it up. This isn't a static risk, right? It is absolutely ongoing. It is evolving. The snapshot of the risk today is going to be different from the snapshot of the risk 6 months from now. So being able to use those assessments to continually push clients to evolve their risk posture, to improve their risk posture. Better risk coming into the market means a more sustainable market, because effectively it should have an impact on the frequency and severity of claims and losses. I think that has to become a much more common approach to how we are analyzing and underwriting risk, not just via applications effectively, or even full-blown submission and presentation, this ongoing analysis of risk that gets more in depth and certainly gives more feedback to the client. A lot of what we do at the moment when it comes to, as a market, when it comes to risk analysis for clients is very specifically about getting them insurance, getting them a risk transfer, billing a risk transfer solution. Yeah. But cyber risk isn't just about insurance, right? It's about a risk to the business, and not every element of cyber risk is transferable. So it has to be about how they can manage and improve that risk posture to improve the business effectively overall. And I think that that's an important part of what we can be doing for clients going forward, what we can be doing, yeah, and ultimately what we can be doing for the market going forward. I think we have to make that much more of a common approach. That type of risk engineering is quite common across other lines of cover as well. I just think that we've got to find a way to adapt it to how we do business, because it can help push clients, it can help push organizations to improve their risk posture in order to get to a transfer solution, but also to just improve their risk posture to improve their risk posture, because that's a positive thing to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, I've always liked the sort of insurance, the capability that you gain from dealing with claims and dealing with all the insurance data to provide really good, clear, you know, sort of advisory, you know, to clients to help them out.
Yeah, definitely.
So just in terms of your role, You know, what are some of the metrics and KPIs that are most important to you?
So I think that will vary depending on what I am doing. For client engagements, that will be very specific to that particular client and that engagement, what those KPIs will look like, how we're performing for the client, what it is that the client needs, and what we should be delivering will be guided by the specific engagement. Like, underlying all of that is communication.
Okay.
Effective communication with clients being incredibly important, especially in the current market environment. It's important normally, but in the current market environment, it's absolutely critical. And that communication, that engagement, effective communication can certainly make or break a process for a client, make or break an outcome for a client. And I think that is a really important KPI to include for any client engagement. My KPIs have to be somewhat flexible in a sense, because they need to be quite specific to the task at hand or to the particular client at hand. But I will tell you, I am certainly my own most aggressive critic and supporter, in that I'm consistently and constantly reviewing my own KPIs for the various tasks and ensuring that they align to what the outcome needs to be, that they're a true measure of effect or true measure of the success or ultimate failure of that particular task.
Okay. It's interesting, you know, you're kind of implying it, you know, communications is really the key, but you are implying, you know, current market conditions. So I guess, you know, you're probably talking about the challenges, and one of the things you're talking about is challenges in getting capacity and kind of the hardening market. You know, what are some of the other things besides that you've seen over the last 2-3 years, changes in the market?
Oh, that feels like a lot of it. This is a market unlike we've really ever experienced on the cyber side. There the market has been and still is in a lot of ways been consistently growing over the past, we'll call it 15 years, because that's how long I've been around in it. It certainly predates me, but just we'll call it, you know, for the last 15 years, the market has consistently been growing. The capital that's been implemented into the marketplace, the capacity there, the coverage has been growing, all of those elements. And I think just within the past, it's amazing to see all of that growth reverse effectively in just the past 2 years, really. But exactly those are the challenges that we've continued to see. Increase in rate increases, which drive premium increases, capacity restrictions, attachment points, the reduction of the number of primary carriers or carriers willing to put out primary capacity has been quite severe over the past 2 years as well. The challenges in data collection from clients and underwriting information, and the need for much more granular information, the use of more tools to try and analyze risk outside of the information collection that we're doing from the client. That all sounds really bad, and I do recognize that we are very much in a challenging market, but I don't think that everything that has occurred over the past couple of years has been bad. Mm. Even with the challenges that we've seen to capacity, what that has done is forced clients, forced organizations to become better risk in order to achieve the risk transfer that they want. It's also required clients to look at, and required us as a market, to look at the cover that's being provided to clients and make sure that it is fit for purpose. Are we, and really take more into account how those premium dollars are being utilized. How are we building towers? How are we building programs and structures for clients? Is it the most effective use of their premium dollars? Would they be able to get more use out of those premium dollars if we shifted something in the coverage or shifted something in the structure, the placement, or utilized other risk transfer vehicles or as financing vehicles? So I think it has made us more innovative in some respects, not from necessarily from a coverage standpoint, but in an approach to how to placement standpoint, which I think it's absolutely a positive thing. It is encouraging. Mm-hmm. And of course, as the prices go up more, we will start to see more capacity and capital coming into the marketplace, trying to make the trying to ensure that clients have more direct access to that capacity and capital, and kind of reducing the process or the number of kind of intermediaries between clients and the capacity or capital in the marketplace, and making sure that we are really getting them solutions that make sense for the risk for the organization as it currently is and how it will be in the future. So I don't think everything about the market has been bad. I think that there are some very strong points, and ultimately this should be setting us up for a better, more sustainable marketplace that is ultimately underscoring improved risk for clients, whether insuring it or otherwise.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think there's probably a lot of opportunities that are coming out of the pain. So if you had 10 of your peers in a room, you know, what question would you ask them?
I would want to know more about how our peers are utilizing their data as well. The collection of that data, are they taking the time to analyze that data? Because we do know that the markets, for instance, are certainly collecting information, underwriting information, and they are looking at trends and things that come out of claims that they see. But brokers tend to have a slightly unique perspective with respect to claims, because we're not seeing individual layer losses. We're seeing the full loss, right? The full tower, or whatever element of the tower. So where you have carrier A who sees their 5 mil capacity, the impact of their 5 mil capacity, we are seeing the full tower, assumedly, let's call it 100 mil tower. We get to see what happens throughout the entirety. So being able to really look at the information that's being collected and how the impact or the data that we have on these clients and what that should be, what that is telling us about the risk. I'd want to know more about how my peers are utilizing that information and whether they are looking for trends within that information and whether they are able to really, you know, whether they've come up with anything specific around the information that they're collecting, the impact that has, and where those clients that have had losses, are they seeing trends within that information? We see that from markets when they start to ask specific questions about risk and things that they've seen impacting losses. But is there a broader trend that we could be seeing looking at our information, the same information that we're collecting from a slightly different perspective? Basically most of my questions would come down to data, the use of data, the collection of data, what peers are doing with that data, and getting a bit more in depth there, because I do think that is quite interesting.
Okay. That sounds good. What would you say, you know, your team or your company's biggest challenges that you face?
So I think that our challenges are slightly different than some of our peers, simply because we are still a newer operation. I also see our challenges as being quite significant opportunities. The current market environment has made it quite challenging just in general it's been quite challenging in general, just getting clients the optimal results, and kind of changing the perspective around what optimal results are for clients is absolutely a challenge. But that also gives us the opportunity to open their eyes to new approaches, new ways of doing things with respect to their cyber programs or their cyber risk, new methods of addressing that risk, new methods of analyzing that risk. That I think is an opportunity for the market and for us as well. It also though means that clients can get a bit entrenched in the way that they are doing things, because the market has been so much different up until about 2019. It had been very, very different. And so you end up, you know, I think clients then fear the move, fear the potential outcome of a program or of a placement because of what the market looks like. And I think that can make clients slightly less willing to try something different or to try a new approach. But again, I think that that presents an opportunity to really help clients better understand what this risk is, what it means for them, and how various approaches to that risk can be beneficial. So it means that we have to provide effectively more data, more information to clients in order to get them to a position where they feel like they can try something different, try something new. While there are challenges, I do think that each of the challenges that have been presented do create opportunities for us to be innovative, opportunities for us to take a different approach, and to really have to hone our skills in order to attract clients and in order to continue to be successful within this marketplace.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting differences, I guess, between, change, doing something new, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, clients kind of just going back to the same. So I guess just, we've talked a lot around what's going on in the market today. So obviously there's lots of things we probably have already covered, but what else do you find, really interesting kind of current events going on in cyber today?
I'm quite interested in the litigation that continues to unfold around privacy, around private data. We seem to have, like, every couple of years, it seems to be a bit of a blip around privacy litigation or regulatory enforcement around private data, and then it kind of dies down a bit, but then it kicks back up. I'm quite interested to see where the litigation is going. It just, broadly, I think we're due for some more successful litigation from a plaintiff standpoint. It's been, despite some hefty years settlements, most of the litigation hasn't really gone very far. Yeah. So I imagine that we are due for something much more aggressive in the next couple of years. I'm quite curious to see how that litigation continues to unfold, not just in the US, but around the world. I'm very, very interested right now around cyber terrorism, cyber war, and how we are going to, how the market wants to address these concepts going forward. I think we're in a bit of a pivotal place when it comes to these concepts in policies and what that needs to look like going forward. And of course, the LMA has issued the new endorsements for cyber war. But how we, again, as a market, how are we going to be consistent in our approach to this? How are we going to provide policies that aren't predicated on ambiguity to clients around this concept and this topic? So yeah. I that is very, very interesting for me. And then I'm quite interested again in some of these systemic loss and what that's going to mean for the marketplace, single points of failure, or just overall kind of systemic losses, and how we are going how can the market continue to ensure those, provide clients some comfort around these potential losses going forward. I think there are just so many things about cyber at the moment that are really, really interesting, and things that we are going to have to keep a very close eye on to see how they're progressing and influence where we should be, from the broking side, being able to influence the market and influence clients, so that we can ultimately achieve what we all want, which is a market that continues to grow and can sustain itself. But basically it's all interesting right now, Anthony.
Yeah. So much going on. It's true. I think that's probably one of the really fun things about the cyber market is I think there's been a bit of stabilization on what the risk is, a bit of stabilization. If you went back 2-3 years, we're still talking about primarily BI driven by ransomware. Mm-hmm. A little bit further back, obviously it shifts a lot, but I think even you separate that, there's so much going on around it, that's changed, like you said, privacy, regulatory. Mm-hmm. It's just such a fast moving area.
Absolutely.
That kind of concludes the meat of the a lot of the thought leadership questions. I thought maybe we could just ask a few more, just kind of close out questions, just a little bit more about yourself and, you know, some of your thoughts. So first, I just want to understand, how did you end up in insurance? Everybody has a kind of a funny accidental story, but what's your story? How did you end up in insurance?
Oh, I'm such a nerd. I actually studied insurance in university. So I'm one of those few rare.
I know two people and you're one of the two.
I'm one of those rare gyms that actually wanted to go in. So actually, so I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C. in the city. And it's a historically Black university. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the few universities as a whole that has an insurance and actuarial department. In my first year, I think, the summer after my first year, I was able to go on. We had a bit of an insurance retreat. Goodness, this sounds even worse as I'm saying it. This insurance retreat during the summer after my first year. And that's where I was first exposed to the concept of captives and all kinds of really cool, what I thought was really cool, insurance information. I met some folks from Aon and Marsh and from AIG and Zurich at the time. So we had this case study over the course of a week and got to meet with all of these grand people. And after that, I was sold. My major in university was international business, but I had a concentration in insurance. So I spent a few years studying insurance and then ended up in insurance after university.
Okay. Well, that's definitely a different story than most people have. You know, most people, I ended up in an insurance conference. I don't know how it happened. They recruited me. All of a sudden there I was. So as someone who's maybe had a little bit more thought and planning behind it, what would you recommend to someone who wants to get into insurance? How to get in, how to have a good career?
So I think getting in isn't as tough maybe as it may seem. Always networking is always really important. You know, you've got to go where the insurance folks are. Various conferences are really good places to meet other insurance people. Advise and Net Diligence, all kinds of conferences across the world. You can meet, you know, folks, RIMS, AIRMIC, FIRMA, things like that. I think you don't have to study anything particular. I mean, insurance, so much of it is on the job training. So I think you just need to kind of show an interest, express an interest, reach out to people who have jobs that you're interested in or who are in careers that you're quite interested in. LinkedIn is a great tool to be able to do that. But a lot of that, I think, just comes down to networking. There's a lot more for folks that are still in university. There's a bit of recruitment, I think, that goes on at a number of universities from, you know, folks within insurance. So seek them out and just try and do what you can to learn, to ask somebody for coffee and just pick their brain. Most people are very, very happy to talk about themselves. And so, you know, you can learn quite a bit about what the various roles are, what's available and how you can get involved that way.
Okay. So that definitely covers the getting in. What would you say, you know, you'd recommend to someone who wants to have a successful career in insurance? What are some of the keys you recommend?
That you never stop learning. Insurance, again, insurance, especially on the cyber side, it isn't static. There's so much evolution that continues to occur here. So you have to keep learning. You have to stay on top of events that are taking place within the market that are important, of movement within the market, of litigation and things that are going to make a difference to coverage. So I just think that you never want to stop learning. I think that you have to, oddly enough, you do have to be passionate about what you do. You have to be passionate about insurance. As scary as that might sound, I think that there are lots of things that you can find within insurance that are passionate about. An old faculty member at Howard used to say all the time, insurance is a $1 trillion industry. Trillions of dollars of industry. And he would say that, you know, if you get into insurance, you always have a job. You always, people always have to have insurance. You can't operate a business without insurance. Right. So it is definitely one of the most stable industries from an employment perspective that you can generally find. So I think that you can, yeah, most people, if you get in and have a question about it, just learning, you'll be quite successful.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So who would you say should be our next podcast guest and why?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I'm gonna have to think about that one. There's so many amazing people in the market that you can talk to. I'm gonna say Scott Canary from Axio. And the reason I say that is because, well, one, I actually happened to catch up with him yesterday, which is nice. But again, to this whole kind of the point of data and analysis, risk analysis, is their proposition is quite interesting as well. And, you know, having more perspective on what's available to clients from a risk analysis perspective, I think is also really important. And being able to talk through that, the entire process, not just the risk transfer process, but the pre-placement, the analysis process, I think that's quite interesting. And understanding, you know, what is available to clients, what's available to us as a market, to better understand risk, I think is good. So yeah, I'm gonna say Scott. And I think part of that has to do with, because the data bit is on my brain quite heavy. But there's so many good people. I mean, there's so many. Jeff Cohen from Zywave, Verizon, you know, you could have. Or
that would be interesting, yeah.
There's so many people.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. Last question. You can directly address our audience. Is there anything, so our audience, you know, I expect to be quite broad within insurance, you know, from brokers all the way through to, you know, claims adjusting companies. You know, so directly addressing our audience, is there anything the audience could help you with? Anyone in the audience could help you with?
I would say that I think we can all help each other. This is generally, it's a fairly small industry, but it's still large enough. I think the more collaboration that we can continue to encourage across the marketplace, the more conversations like this that we can continue to have is really important. Yeah. It's really important to the future of this. And we're all heavily vested in cyber. So I think it's really, you know, it's really important for us to continue to help each other and collaborate with one another. So we're offering the best to clients. It's so that we are helping to shore up and sustain effectively ourselves and what we do each day. So nothing specific for me, but I think for each of us, we can help each other.
Okay. That sounds great. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. It's been great to talk with you this morning, and it's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.